All right, let's go to, hold on a second, let me see where I am. Sorry. Okay, that was 199 cap A. So that is on page 10. Again, we're not going to go into that because of the later presentation. Let's go back for a moment to page 9. I did want to mention this one. This is page 9. It is item 3, qualified transportation fringes. So this is at the bottom of page 9. Recall that there are, under section 132 of the code, there are three basic types of qualified transportation fringes. There's qualified parking provided by an employer to an employee. There is a transit pass, and then there is transportation in a commuter highway vehicle. So say the employees go to a park and ride, and the employer brings them in a van, something like that. And the rule has been that the employer could take a deduction for all those, and that they were excluded from the gross income of the employees subject to limitations. What changed in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is the employer side. The employer, beginning in 2018, can no longer take a deduction for these qualified transportation fringes. What did not change is the employee side. The employee can still exclude them subject to the existing limits if the employer chooses to provide them. So this has a lot of people thinking about potential ways around this. So for example, if you're an employer, a lot of people are approaching landlords to say, well, could we just eliminate the distinction between parking and rent? And you know, I'll pay you a lump sum of rent every month, and you'll throw in a certain number of parking spaces as part of that. So I think those sorts of strategies, they're being discussed, certainly, and will become more common in response to this. Now, the one exception here is the ever-popular qualified bicycle commuting reimbursement. Very popular in Houston, I'll tell you. The rule is that employers can still deduct this for 2018 through 25, but the employee must include it in gross income until 2026, and then all the transportation fringes are on the same set of rules. All right. Let's go from here to page 18. Still in the area of business income and deductions. Page 18, item A, is a summary of the changes to section 179 of the code. And recall how section 179 works, that generally, if a taxpayer acquires an asset, they have to treat that as a capital expenditure. But if the property is section 179 property, then the taxpayer can deduct the cost of that property subject to limitations. And section 179 property generally is depreciable personal property used in a trade or business. Now, Congress and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act increased the limit on deducting the cost of section 179 property. It is now $1 million for property put in service this year. And recall that that limit phases out if you put too much section 179 property in service. And the phase-out threshold has been increased to $2.5 million. So if you put into service $3 million of 179 property, your basic limit goes down to $500,000. If you put in $3.5 million of 179 property, your limit goes down to zero. Now, I wanted to comment on some of the other changes Congress made to Section 179. They expanded the definition of qualified real property. Recall that Section 179 generally is depreciable personal property, but there are some categories of real property that qualify. Now, formerly, Congress in the statute set forth three different categories of real property. There was qualified leasehold improvement property, qualified retail property, and qualified restaurant property. Those three categories are now gone, and we have only a single category, which is defined as qualified improvement property. Qualified improvement property. And that is defined, you can see this on page 18 in item A, any improvement to an interior portion of a building which is non-residential real property, if such improvement is placed in service after the date the building was first placed in service. That's it. So you've got a building in service, you make some improvements to the interior portion of it, a commercial building we're talking about, then we've got qualified improvement property, which is now deductible under Section 179, subject to the normal limits of Section 179, up to $1 million in a given year. Now, also, Congress expanded the definition of qualified real property, or qualified real property, to include roofs, heating, ventilation, and AC systems, so HVAC systems, alarm systems. I'll come back and talk about roofs in a minute. I think that's a pretty significant expansion. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bruce, why are you wasting our time talking about Section 179 when we now have 100% bonus depreciation and we can just go ahead and deduct the whole thing without limit right now? And I think the answer to that is there are some situations where either bonus depreciation is not available, but Section 179 deduction is, or where we might want to take the 179 deduction first anyway.